Let us pray. Loving God, by the gift of your Spirit, teach us, like Mary, to treasure your words and ponder them in our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, your word, made flesh. Amen. The first lesson is from Luke 2, verses 1 through 5, and the scripture is written in the announcements if you'd like to follow along. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child.
And continuing in Luke 2, while they were there, the time came for her to deliver the child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
The third lesson. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors."
The fourth lesson. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger.
The fifth lesson. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Will you join me in prayer? Gracious and loving God, may by the power of your Holy Spirit, the written words of Scripture become for each of us your living word this day. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I have a Christmas reading list, old favorites that I read every year. On my list is T.S. Eliot's poem, Journey of the Magi. It's an accessible and simple poem compared to most of the poems Eliot wrote, and the opening lines are, I think, striking. "A cold coming we had of it, just the worst time of year for a journey, and such a long journey, the ways deep and the weather sharp, the very dead of winter." Such a long journey. It always begins months earlier. I walked into Home Depot on the east side of town the day after Thanksgiving, and the store was completely decked out in Christmas trees aglow with lights and glittery garland. And the children begin to wish and dream and make lists months ahead. When I was a child, the arrival of the Sears Roebuck catalog in the mail one day in the fall set off weeks of dreaming, list-making, and hoping. The pace quickens at Thanksgiving, and for the past 4 weeks, most of us have been very busy trying to accomplish all we need to accomplish. For some, it can be almost oppressive. Sue Dornfeld, who's a member here at Westminster, joked a couple of weeks ago that she would have to start a GoFundMe page in order to pay for all the Christmas gifts for her 11 great-grandchildren. I love the anecdote related to me by a colleague about a Sunday school teacher in a former parish. Her six-year-olds were learning about the ways the church gets itself ready for Christmas in Advent. "We have a special name for this season," she explained. "Does anyone know what we call the 4 weeks before Christmas?" And a bright little girl put her hand up and said, "I know, it's called Advil." And sometimes that seems about right. We do stretch ourselves thin preparing for this. And now it is here, and all that remains is to hear and think about the story and the reasons we do all of it. The whole world becomes silent tonight to listen again to those words in Luke, to hear again the angel's song, the lowing of the cattle, the baby's first cry. But I know from experience that Christmas turns out to be a perennial paradox. Many of us relish the joy of our family gatherings in this special season and make our way to church on Christmas Eve to celebrate this story that we all cherish. Yet others of us find ourselves lonely, depressed, disappointed, or completely stressed out in the midst of it all. Our experience echoes the birth of Jesus. In spite of all of our sanitized Christmas carols, it's a story filled with stress and loneliness, born of incredible hardship. It begins when Mary becomes pregnant out of wedlock, a scandalous proposition in any day. Joseph, a righteous man, we are told by the gospel writer Matthew, considers walking away from Mary and the whole mess to save his own reputation. And then there's the difficult 100-mile trek from Nazareth to Bethlehem on foot with a pregnant wife and no extended family to support them along the way. According to Google Maps, it would take 34 hours to travel it on foot, not counting stops for rest. And of course, Google does not factor in contingencies such as marauding bandits or deep rain-washed wadis cutting through their path, where to spend each night, or full-term pregnancies with Mary's water threatening to break at any minute. And the whole dangerous, exhausting journey is just to fill out some government census forms. Compared to all of this, 2 hours spent languishing in the DMV waiting room seems hardly worth grumbling over. When Mary and Joseph arrive in Bethlehem days later, they face more discouraging news. There is no room for them in the inn, and the expectant couple has to settle for the cattle stall out back. And with no midwife to help, Joseph probably had to deliver the baby himself. But in the midst of this dark and rather messy story, 3 unlikely messengers from God arrive on the scene. The first is the angel of the Lord, which came to Joseph in his moment of crisis up there in Nazareth, calming his anxiety, soothing his fears, and persuading him to wed Mary in spite of the risks. More messengers, a host of angels this time, arrive just after the birth to a group of lowly shepherds who are tending their flocks in the nearby fields. Go to Bethlehem, they are told, for your long-awaited Messiah has been born. And when these shepherds turned divine messengers arrive with the good news that God has come among us, we find that Mary and Joseph are finally no longer afraid and no longer so alone. The glory of this story, and the reason countless millions of people around the world are pushing to hear it again tonight, even though they've heard it dozens of times, and many know every detail by heart, the glory of it, and the reason you and I have come here this evening, is that it is a story about God. God coming into our world, our dark, messy world. God revealed in human life. God living among us. God revealed as he was born and lived and worked and laughed and loved. God revealed as he taught and healed and challenged religious convention and injustice. God revealed as he reached out to touch the lives of all, his best friends, their families, lawyers and priests, poor and oppressed, outcast and marginalized. God revealed in that man's honest, strong, unconditional love. God revealed as he suffered and died. God comes that close to us. And the ongoing miracle of this story is that messengers from God are still arriving in our world to announce and to live this good news, bringing comfort where there is sorrow, reaching out for a relationship when there is loneliness, working for peace in the midst of turmoil, offering hope because a baby is born. God is here. A generation after Jesus lived, one of his followers, thinking about him and what he did and what it all meant, an old man, I think, with most of his life behind him, wrote these words about the paradox of Christmas. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. As you light a small candle this evening and watch as it sputters and then flames and miraculously joins the light of the people sitting around you and then slowly, surely fills this entire space with light, remember, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Make a place in your heart for that light this evening. Keep it burning tomorrow and the next day. Keep it burning in whatever dark and messy days lie ahead. For you too are messengers of God for this good news. Amen.